In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's no secret that in our world we are constantly bombarded with solicitations of various kinds. Everywhere you look throughout the world, there is an open hand that demands to be filled. There are a bunch of different organizations. If you think about the stuff that just comes through the mail, you have political campaigns and charities and groups promoting medical research. And we have all of these different things. And I mean, there's plenty of people who want money. And that's just the good corporations. That's just the people who are actually being honest about it. Because then you get all those telemarketer calls who are literally just scam artists. And it's almost overwhelming. But the problem isn't our willingness to give. You see, that's not the problem with the solicitations. In fact, a recent study just came out. I just read it a few weeks ago. It says that charitable giving is at an all-time high in our country, right now, at this very moment. And so the difficulty isn't in giving people to give to one thing or another. The problem is that there are so many different things to give to that we have to try to prioritize which organization or organizations are going to be the recipient of our generosity. The issue comes is that because there are so many solicitations, sometimes we're tempted to lump the church into the same category, as if the church is one of those open hands that is demanding to be filled. And if you lived in this world for more than a few seconds, you've probably felt that way at one time or another. But this is precisely why it's necessary for us to turn to our epistle reading for today. First, Paul gives the example of the Macedonian church under great persecution and great poverty. And Paul says that they give not only within their means, but then above and beyond what anyone ever expected on account of their hardship. And then he shares these words. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. You see, the source of Christian giving is not in a command. It's not in a divine guilt trip or in some sort of obligation to do so. Christian giving is a joyful response. Remember, the world is ready to give. The question is who receives our generosity? But for a moment, I want you to flip that question around. Not who is supposed to receive your generosity, but who have you received generosity from? Consider who Jesus is. He's God. He belongs in heaven. He is almighty. In fact, Jesus was there along with the Father and the Holy Spirit when the whole earth was created. And why did he create it? But for the benefit of humanity. The whole world, everything in it belongs to him. And what does Jesus choose to do after we screw it up with our sin? But then he comes. He chooses to leave heaven, to be born in a barn of all places, among sinful human beings and all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. That way he can have compassion on us. Like Jairus and his daughter, right? He heals her even from death. Like the woman with a flow of blood for 12 years. And yet, just by touching the fringe of his garment, she is immediately healed. Jesus, he sets aside his eternal glory, everything that belongs to him as God, so that he can live amongst us, sinners. And what do as sinners? We crucify him. He sheds his blood for you. He dies for you. And then what's better, but he rises for you. You know what we call this? There's a fancy word for it. Mercy. Receiving something that you don't deserve. What did you do to deserve a world to live on? Did you ask God for it? Were you faithful to get it? No. What did you do to earn your salvation? Did you live a really good life? No. God is in the business of constantly giving us things that we don't deserve. He is constantly in the business of giving us everything we have. He is generous towards you. You get to be the recipient of God's generosity. And it's not just spiritual things. It's not just eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, you know, things that aren't tangible. We're talking about temporal gifts too. Again, if God makes the whole earth, it means he owns it. He owns the whole thing. This is why God doesn't need your money. If you think God needs your money, you're wrong. He already owns it. It's already his. And so the thing is we don't just have good spiritual blessings, but think about this too. The cross, it works in reverse, and it also works forward. And so those people, the Old Testament, when they receive God's blessings, you know why? It's because at a future date, Jesus would shed his blood and die on the cross. Why do we receive good now? It's because in the past, Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross. Without that atonement, without that moment where God declares us forgiven by the blood of his Son, all we have is God's wrath. That means there is no promise of a Savior to Adam and Eve. It means there is no earth that's created. It means there is none of it. None of it exists without the cross. It is all flowing from that central point of Scripture out to you. And so whether you have abundance of wealth or whether you don't, guess what? Your life, your being, everything you have is from God. In the Lord's Prayer, we call it daily bread. Now, the rest of the world doesn't know this. The rest of the world has this whole pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and think that you're doing a great job for yourself. But the Christian knows better. We know the truth. That God has made you and all creatures. That he has given you your body and soul, eyes, ears, and all your members, your reason and all your senses, and he still takes care of them. He has given you clothing. He has given you shoes. He has given you food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that you have. He richly and daily provides everything you need to support this body and life. He defends you against all danger. He guards and protects you from all evil. And all of this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you. For all this, it is your duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Giving. That's the topic of the sermon, giving. But it's not about your giving. It's about God's giving to you. And so as you consider this enormous gift, this all-encompassing gift of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, as you consider all of the gifts that he continues to pour out upon you, the forgiveness that you have in his blood, even on days when we get to receive his body and blood on our lips, the promise of eternal life and things that are going to exist for all time. It's a wonderful gift. And I can't help but think of the movies. Ever seen one of those movies where like the main character, maybe like a side character, will like take a bullet for another guy? You know, or will somehow like put himself into danger in order to save his friend. And what happens is that friend, he then turns around and gives what's called a life debt. Right? He pledges himself in service to the man who just saved him his life. Or he has to do something equally as important in order to pay back what had just been done to him. And in fact, even in our world today, this coming week, we have a perfect example. Wednesday is July 4th, Independence Day. We celebrate our country. We celebrate the fact that brave men and women had to give their lives so we could enjoy freedom in this country. And how do we honor that sacrifice? How do we honor what our country has been? We might stand for the national anthem. Right? We might give to veterans, or we might give to the army. We might give, you know, in whatever way it is. But we know that we're supposed to give honor to these people for their sacrifice to us. And my friends, Jesus doesn't want you to pay him back. He doesn't need your money. In fact, we couldn't even do it if we tried. I don't care if you give every last dime, every last physical possession, it still wouldn't compare to what Jesus has given to you. But in joyful response to the generosity that God has shown to us, we serve him, and we serve our neighbor. With what goes into the plate, sure. But that's not it. Right? God has given you all time. He has given you guys, each and every one of you has specific talents. Each and every one of you has specific abilities. God doesn't expect us just to worship him one day a week on Sunday when we can put something in the plate, but our entire lives are to be a gift given to God and a gift given to our neighbor in response for the wonderful gift that he has given to us. Which brings us back to the text at hand. You may have noticed that Paul doesn't ever mention a dollar amount. A Macedonian church, man, they only had a dollar, but they gave us 20. No. It's because the amount that is given isn't the point. What is commendable about the church of Macedonia is their generosity toward God and his saints was abundant. And that doesn't mean abundant as far as worldly standards. It means that they gave in response to what Jesus had done to them. They wanted to have a part in spreading the mercy of God. They wanted to have a part in the message of Jesus Christ going out to the entire world. My friends, I don't mean that others should be eased and you burdened by what you give, whether it be your time or your talent or your treasure. Because giving back a portion to the Lord is never meant to be an obligation. But if you leave with one thing today, leave with a full wallet and a promise. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has given his life and his death for you. That way you might have every good thing in this life and in the life to come. When your eyes are open to that mercy of God, we can't help but respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.